With us on the line now is actress Kerry Ellis, who's going to be talking about her life and career and how she got to be recognised as the leading lady of West End musicals from her starring roles in London and on Broadway. Her book, Kerry Ellis, Bumpkin to Broadway, isn't just for fans of musical theatre. It'll be loved by anyone who enjoys live performance. Welcome to the show, Kerry.
Oh, thank you very much. It's funny, this book has been in the works for so long, and to finally be talking about it is really exciting.
Oh, I bet it is. Congratulations for getting a book out there. Well done. You've been working on it for a while then, have you?
Well, it was through the lockdown, really. I mean, I guess I did think I was too young to write an autobiography, and then I thought, actually, I should take advantage of this time where I can't go anywhere and actually just put all my thoughts down before I forget them. So this is almost like part one.
yeah, definitely. And I think part one is often the most interesting part of people's journeys, I think, because I mean, I don't know about you, but I find it really interesting where people come from and their beginnings and kind of how they got to be doing what they're doing. So I think it's great. So how did you get into acting and musical theatre then?
Well, yeah, exactly that. I mean, I wanted to share that kind of story. I wanted to share the story that people haven't read before. They've obviously read the Wikipedia, you know, what my journey is career-wise, but I wanted to kind of share the other side and what goes on alongside all those shows and exactly how I got there. And I kind of was just like any other, you know, young person. And now I think as a parent, I can understand parents putting their kids into various things to just see what they like and see what sticks. And I was put into local dance school, and I loved it, and I never kind of looked back. I was in those dance classes from, I don't know, 3 or 4, and just loved every second. And you know, it feels like a heartbeat away that where I began, and now I'm looking back and thinking, oh my goodness, 42 years later, and I've done all this stuff.
Oh, it's incredible though. I mean, a lot of kids enjoy doing dancing and singing and acting, you know, and then realize quite quickly that it can be an extremely competitive industry and very, very difficult to get anywhere with it, even if you're talented. You know, to find yourself onto the West End stage even once, even in the chorus, is it can be a really difficult thing to do. So how did that side happen for you?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And it's something I talk about a lot, how difficult it is and how kind of thick-skinned you need to be and realise that it's not, you're going to get a lot of no's, but you might get those yeses that will be so worth it. I mean, I was quite fortunate I got to go to drama school. We had some support from some sponsors, and my parents helped me, and I had that kind of routine, which at the time was a way in, I think. Now there seems to be so many more options and ways into the industry, but for me, that was my route. I went to drama school, and then when I left, I started work straight away. I was working in, you know, holiday centres, and I went on a cruise ship, and I did like tours and pantomimes, and then landed my first West End show when I was 20, doing My Fair Lady at the National with Trevor Nunn, and working opposite Jonathan Pryce and Nicholas Sapovo and Dennis Waterman, and that was it then I was off.
And what was that like, that first experience? I mean, working with all those people in that theatre.
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, I look back at it now and I think how incredible and important that was. I mean, at the time I kind of breezed through it and didn't think about it too much, but now I look at the kind of how big a deal it was, and it was, people were kind of were so excited about this show because it was starring Martin McCutcheon, who everyone was very excited about because he'd come off EastEnders and had a big album out, and there was a lot of press around the show, and I was her understudy. So when I got to actually play the role, there was a lot of press around myself as well, which kind of was good for me because it put me on the map from day one. So I'm very grateful for that show.
Yeah. And then to the days of Wicked, you were the first British lead in Wicked. How amazing was that?
Oh, Wicked, yeah. Wicked was a life changer, really. I'd done three or four West End musicals and tours, and then Wicked came along, and it really did change things. Suddenly, everybody knew who I was and what I was doing, and there was such an excitement around this show that was such a hit on Broadway. And as soon as we opened, you know, there was lines of people outside the door. We were constantly playing to packed audiences. There became this kind of family and unity with this show and love for this show, which there still is now. It's just had its 15th anniversary and it's still going strong.
15 years, really? That's amazing.
I know, I can't believe it's been that long. You know, again, it seems like only yesterday that I was painting myself green and you know, flying in the Victoria Apollo. It really has gone so far.
It's interesting, isn't it, how and why a musical does really well. There's obviously been so many fantastic musicals over the years, some which have lasted for decades on either the West End or Broadway, and some that haven't lasted that long at all, even though they've been really good. What is it, do you think, that can make a musical stand the test of time and be kept on the West End or Broadway for years and years?
Well, I think if we all knew that, we'd all be millionaires.
True.
We'd all be Andrew Lloyd Webber. I don't know, because, you know, I've worked on various different shows and I've done workshops and, you know, I've tried out shows that have done brilliantly and then some that haven't. And honestly, there's no knowing what the public are going to connect to and what's going to hit. You just have no idea. But I guess, you know, I guess it has to have a lot of elements. And a show like Wicked certainly does have that. It has all the amazing costumes and the set is amazing. The lighting, the story, I think, is the most important. If the story touches people, that usually is the essence of a good musical. If you can make people feel something and, you know, disappear for a couple of hours and transport them to somewhere else, that usually is a good start sign.
Mm. And catchy songs as well. I mean, the songs of the likes of Les Mis and Cats and, you know, big musicals that have been around for decades. People know and love the songs. So it must be a nerve-wracking time for producers and actors when new musicals open, because people are going to see something and they don't know the music at all. So you've got to hope that people are going to find the songs catchy and they become classics over time.
Absolutely. It's so difficult. I mean, if you go and see a your favourite pop band, or you go and see your favourite artist, they might sing their whole, you know, back catalogue of all their hits, and they may throw in a new song, which, you know, it's really difficult because people want to hear what they know. Mm. And a musical is exactly that. It's a drop in the pan. You get one chance, generally, and people have to connect with it straight away. And I don't know what it is that makes them stand out. But again, something like Wicked and a song like Defying Gravity that, again, I've sung a million times and it never gets boring, and people love it. I've sung it all over the world and people go mad for it. It doesn't matter where you are. So something does connect with people. And I do think a lot of it has to do with the message. And of course, you know, the melody and the music and the lyrics. But the message seems to hit with people, I think, most.
And I have to ask you about your partnership with Brian May. You've done a few albums with him, and he obviously features in your book. He wrote the foreword in the book. How did you meet him?
So Brian and I met quite a long time ago, nearly 20 years. He actually came to see me when I was in My Fair Lady, by mistake, really. He came to see the show and I just happened to be on, and he saw me and said, "Well, we'd love to have you audition for We Will Rock You." But actually, the first time I met him was when I walked into the audition room for We Will Rock You, and I had to sing his song to him, like No One But You, which obviously he wrote. And there was a long panel of people, and that was the first time I'd met him. And I'm singing one of his songs, which is pretty daunting. But yeah, many years on, we've done, obviously I did We Will Rock You, and then we've done various albums and tours, and we did a Christmas song last year, you know, various performances, and he's been quite, he's been very important in my life. He's been almost a mentor And part of the family now, you know, my kids call him Uncle Brian. And that, the book, you know, talks obviously a lot about Brian because he was such a big influence in my life. So, yeah, it was nice to share that side of it that perhaps people don't know. You know, they see us bring out music or perform somewhere and do a big concert and then disappear again. And, you know, I wanted to share that there's so much more to that than of us being in the studio and creating and bringing that magic. You know, that was really important to me.
Yeah, wonderful. So how do you work together when you're producing music? I know you've done a lot of covers, but you've done original stuff as well. Who does what?
Well, it is very collaborative. I mean, when we work together on a show, we very much, you know, go away and do our own thing, and Brian will tour with Queen and write books and do all the things that he does, save animals, and I'll go away and do musicals and concerts and tours and things. And then we kind of come together and bring all different ideas together. So various songs that we've heard along the way, or, you know, we both bring ideas to the table. I mean, for example, the Panic Attack song that we did on the last album, Golden Days, Brian wrote. He had like a melody in his head when he was on tour with Queen and was having these kind of moments of anxiety, I guess. And he came back with a few lyrics and like a part melody, and we brought it in the studio, and it was just an idea, really. And then we just developed it together, you know, put it a bit down and then kept adding few more instruments and a bit more lyrics and a few more melodies, and then we come up with the song. It's a slow process, but it's kind of it feels very collaborative.
Yeah, brilliant. And I have to ask you about the title of the book, Bumpkin to Broadway. What's the bumpkin bit?
Well, the bumpkin bit, I grew up in Suffolk in a tiny village with about 10 houses in. You know, I was a country girl really at heart. There wasn't even a village shop where I grew up. So I grew up kind of running in the fields out the back. And so for me, my roots were very important. So the kind of, it was kind of, yeah, me being a bit of a bumpkin, kind of being in the countryside, it was that. And then obviously my journey to become, have a career in performance all over the world. But Broadway was a big turning point. And it rhymes.
Yes. Oh, no, it's brilliant. Brilliant. So looking at what you're doing now, I know you have had some music out quite recently with Brian, but what's next for you?
Well, I'm catching up on all the dates that were postponed from before pre-COVID, because obviously lots of dates had to be pushed. So they're all now going in the diary, which is great. So there's lots of concerts coming up. There's new music. Hopefully I can get back into the studio. I just signed with a new label called Westway, so we're going to do an originals album early next year. Obviously, the book. There's more podcasts coming. I do a podcast called Keep Calm and Carry On, which we created in the lockdown, and we're about to go into season 5. So there's lots more of that coming. So it's going to be quite a busy. It's already a busy end this year, and it's going to be a busy next year.
Oh, wonderful stuff. Well, we wish you luck with everything that you're doing. And if listeners want to get a copy of your book, it's available on our website. It's called Kerry Ellis, Bumpkin to Broadway. Kerry, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.